Okay, so let's put ourselves back into the sugya of last week. So we introduced in Masechet Sukkah the sugya of mitzvah lavi honos menu, and it appeared to us in the context of lulav that a person technically could fulfill the mitzvah of lulav, even though lulav is aser b'hano. Every once in a while, there may be other problems with certain lulav that are aser b'hano. There are zara and asherah and bittul and ktutz bechtashurei and other problems, but just from the vantage point of being also b'hano, that in of itself is not a meneah. That in of itself does not prevent you from fulfilling the mitzvah of the alamin, because mitzvah is lavi honos menu. And the same is true when it comes to shofar, and the same is true when it comes to chalitza. The only problem is the Gemara throws a curveball at us by saying that even though you're yotzei the mitzvah, but you're not really supposed to do it. L'chadchili, you shouldn't do it. Why shouldn't you do it? But the posh pshat is, you shouldn't do it because it's pastish. It's a little yafet, it doesn't look nice. It's a bizoyin of the mitzvah. Or maybe it's a gezeirah d'rabbanan. People are going to think that you're allowed to be nana from Yisur Hana. Those seem to be the conventional wisdom reasons why you shouldn't do the chalitza, you shouldn't shake the lulav, shouldn't blow the shofar, even though b'diyev in all three cases you would be yotzei. Nevertheless, the Ramban quoted an opinion from Yishayinim, who the Ramban didn't identify who, because the Yesham, Yesh Mefarish, who threw a real curveball at us in the sugya of Chalitza. Ramban quoted us last week that the reason why lechatchila you shouldn't do Chalitza is because you are being nehene. How are you being nehene? That she is now able to remarry. And that's pretty important. That's very, very, that's a very expensive proposition. That's very significant for financially. And it's that ability to be able to remarry is considered to be hano'ah. We're going to use a phrase right now that we're going to have to work on a little bit later on. It's going to develop. It's called hano'as haguf. That's considered to be, in a sense, additional, tangential to the etzem hano'as ha-mitzvah. And the Yeshomim say, therefore, it's problematic. So, l'chadchila lo tachlot. But the Eved would be okay. So the Ramban jumped on that opinion last week and said, wait a second, if it's really also, there's some real Torah violation of Hanot take place, so that even with the Eved, it should not be acceptable. So therefore, the Ramban rejected that Yesh Omen. What exactly was the source for the Ramban's rejection? Why was the Ramban so opposed to the Yesh Omen? So the Ramban had a theory last week that if you're over an Isser, the mitzvah is betela. Once you violate an issa by what you're doing, if it's a real issa, if it's some kind of a watered down, there a bun on a gezeira, looks like that. But if it's a real issa, you're in violation of al-yachal devara, you're in violation of yiduch b'yachal m'menacherem, you're in violation of whatever you name the issa hana is, there's some real Torah violation of some kind of issa hana, so that under no circumstances we will be able to be yaitzei the mitzvah. How did the Ramban know that was true? So the Ramban last week quoted from a Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah, before it discovered mitzvah lavi honos menu, before the Gemara realized mitzvah lavi honos menu, the Gemara quoted an opinion that said that if you blow a shofar shel shlamim, so then you violated an iser, and the violation of the iser will prevent you from being yet to the mitzvah even b'diavad. The Ramban said, you see, for the Gemara Rosh Hashanah daf kaches, that a violation of iser is a meneya, is a ma'akev in the very essence of the fulfillment of the mitzvah. So the Ramban extrapolated, just as according to the Shita that we don't accept, but still, as we said millions of times in Shirim over the years, you can extract an awful lot from Shitas that we don't follow. So we can extract from the Shita that we don't accept, the day in the Gemara that does not buy into mitzvah slava honos menu. According to that opinion, the blowing of a shofar in violation of the Yisr Hano will result in not being yet to the mitzvah. So too, the violation of an Isser Hanov Chalitza will result in the non-acceptability of the Chalitza even with the Eved. That was the Ramban's Yisoy this. That Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah he used as a model for violation of an Isser results in not fulfilling the mitzvah. How could we defend the Yesh Omen? The Yesh Bishop Farish, one of these, anonymous Rishon of the Ramban saw fit to quote it. It was not a Tantik and Harry wrote it. One of the Gedolei Rishonim was subscribed to this view, even though we don't know who exactly it was. How could we possibly defend the Shita? How could we explain why that Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah is not relevant in Hilchos Chalitza? That just because you're not yotzei tkiya shofar doesn't mean that you're not yotzei the Chalitza. Ma nishtana between the two? If I had a BlackBerry, which I actually do, I'm not going to use it now. My Tamidim bought me a whiteboard when this when the pandemic started. So usually in Shir, in Yeshivas, I have the BlackBerry behind me. So every once in a while, I'll draw a picture, draw some kind of something to clarify a certain point. So I said a few times the first couple of days of Shir, I said, I don't have a BlackBerry here. So next thing I knew, it was a BlackBerry, and Amazon arrived at my front door a couple of days later. So I do have the BlackBerry here, I do have the markers here, but I don't know where the markers are, so we're not going to bother using it. We'll just do it all about pastings. And this year, we never used the BlackBerry anyway, so we'll just continue not using the BlackBerry. So the bottom line is as follows. What is the source of the inequality between these two statements? Why is it that a violation of Maseches Rosh Hashanah impacts b'dieved on Tkiyas Shofar, whereas a violation in Hilchos Chalitza does not impact on Chalitza? How do we defend the Yesh HaEmunah? So we have to go back to the source itself, the Sugi Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Why is it that the violation of an Isser impacts on the mitzvah? Why can you have a cake and eat it? I violated an Isser. What? Not good, but Chatos Yavisi Pashati. I didn't have era, but I still get in this. What's the problem? Imagine the guy blows shofar be'isra and Rosh Hashanah. So what a good day to do tshuva. First day of Maseches Tshuva. So klap al chait. Maybe you should klap al chait to Rosh Hashanah. Maybe you should wait till some gadaya. A technical question. For the terrible avera. And he still yet saying, what's so terrible? Why is it so inconceivable that the person is over an isra and he's fulfilling a mitzvah at the same time? So if you remember last week, at the very end of the Shia, we quoted from the Ramban. The Ramban himself said the reason is because if you don't tell him that he's not Yotze, namely if the Halacha doesn't declare that he's not Yotze, then we are, in a certain sense, setting him up for a violation of an Aveira. We have two choices, two paths. Either say he's Yotze or he's not Yotze. If we say that he's Yotze, so then he was just Nehne, again, according to the Man Yama Mitzvah Slehonis Nehne. If we say that he's Yotze, then that's going to force him to have just violated an Aveira. If the Halacha simply says to him, guess what, mister, you aren't even Yotze, so he goes, no, so you didn't do anything wrong. So we're going to save him from the Aveira. So the Halacha has two paths in front of it. So therefore the Halacha, again, I keep on using the word Halacha. I'm afraid to say the Rabbanim because I don't think this is a Din de Rabbanim. I don't want to say the word the Torah because it's not explicit, obviously, in the Torah. This is a Svara. This is some kind of a Svara deraisa that it's if you have two choices, whether to declare Yotze plus Aveira or no Yotze, no Aveira, the Halacha dictates that you're talking about Yotze. So if that's the Pshat of the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, then the Ramban's equation is 100% right. That Svar is equally true concerning mitzvahs as well as Chalitza. So the same way in Rosh Hashanah Kav Ches, we say to prevent the violation of the Aveira, we the Halacha, would rather declare that he's not Yotze. So too in Yevamos, to prevent the violation of Aveira, it would be better say that he's not Yotze the Chalitza. So that would be a shtak of cash. That Gemara Rosh Hashanah would refute the Yesh HaEmunah. So the Chari Yesh HaEmunah have a different shot. The Chari Yesh HaEmunah had a whole different view in that Gemara Rosh Hashanah. So let's take a look. I just sent literally right before the Shia. Hope did everyone get the Makaris? There were a couple of new Makaris I threw on at the last minute. No, I sent them on a WhatsApp, both to the Orat Torah. Ian Shia, I sent them on to the, I think, Orat Torah in general also. Anybody, did some people get it? It came through? Okay. So in the Ritva, those who don't have it, we'll read it out together. So the Ritva in Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Kav Ches Amud Aleph poses this question. He says, Taka, why are you not Yotze Rosh Hashanah? According to the Man Yomer that mitzvahs are Lehanos Nenu. So it's on the Ritva in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, it's on the bottom of the second column Reis Samach Beis, the very last paragraph. The Hadli Amina B'Shefer Shlomim the person is violating the Isser Hana'ah. Kashua. Yes, the Ritva. Mikol Makom HaTokhabo. So nice, he was Yotze Nisa. Good. Zolzan. But he's still Yotze. He's still Tokhaya. Umali Yavadi Suriloi. He's posing the Rabban's question. Why does the violation of an Isser prevent him from being Yotze? Kevin Lobin and Shofar Shalom. He doesn't have to own the shofar. The Yotze b'shofar shol. Don't tell me a story. He's not Yotze because the shofar is not his. That's ridiculous, says the Ritva. V'yesh loymar to be komokom ika mishum mitzvah haba b'aveira k'dis b'luv ha'gozol. Ritva brings back our old friend from September, from the first month of Shirum, for the first 3 years. Mitzvah haba b'aveira. That's the engine that's driving you, not Yotze. It is inconceivable to be Yotze a mitzvah if simultaneously you're violating an Aveira. That's the Geirin. That's the reason why you're not going to be Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak, let me pose the following question for you. Does that Svara carry over to Chalitza or not? Mitzvah of Aveira is a reason to disqualify a Chalitza? First of all, I'm not even sure that there's a mitzvah altogether with a chalitza, quite frankly, that we spoke a little bit about last week. I don't even know chalitza, matra, the mitzvah, I don't know. Even if it's a mitzvah, zol zayin that you weren't yaitzeh the mitzvah, but the matya doesn't take effect. I give you a mosh. I give you a following mosh. According to many Rishonim, according to the Rambam, there's a mitzvah to mekadesh an isha. When you mekadesh an isha, two things happen. According to the Rambam, you're fulfilling the mitzvah's esem in a terv kikachish isha. And the woman's also becoming mekudeshes. Does the chalais kedushin depend upon the mitzvah's kedushin taking place? Absolutely not. What if a person's mekadesh and isha be iser? See, a kohen gives kesef kedushin to a grusha. That's an iser deraisa. Isha grusha isha lekach. It's an iser gomer min haTorah. Is the kedushin chal? Absolutely. Kedushin atoyfsim b'chayv alavin. Gaval ta mitzvah b'vi aveira. So the answer is mitzvah b'vi aveira can be pagaya in the mitzvah shabo. But it's not going to touch the chaloi shiva. Let's say a person is mekadesh nisha on Shabbos. He's not allowed to do that. But the kedushin is not chal. It's ridiculous. It means just because you violated an isra asma, you violated an isra, but the chaloi is still valid. So too, when it comes to chalitza, if the geirin for not being yaitze, the mitzvah tkiya shofar, is the parish of mitzvah of yaveira, how does mitzvah of yaveira speak to chalitza? First of all, we don't even know chalitza is a mitzvah altogether. We don't even know it's subject to any rules or limitations of mitzvah of yaveira. And number two, even if it is, so we'll say the guy's not yaitzeh the mitzvah. Azma, he's not yaitzeh. It's a big deal he's not yaitzeh the mitzvah. The chalitza is still valid. Like, big deal he wasn't yaitzeh the mitzvah. Kedushin. I once had a chosun who came to me and he said, right after the chuppah, he came to me, he was real nervous. He said, you know, there's a din that you're supposed to have in mind. The shem mitzvah's kedushin and the shem chalitza's kedushin and the shem ishus and the shem kidney. The shem kedushin. I have 15 million different chumras there. He said, you know, Rabbi, oh yeah, yeah, when I gave the ring to the college, I was just blank. I was just looking at her and just said, I gave it around. I didn't think about L'shem Mitzvah, L'shem Yichud, L'shem Yis, L'shem Kiddush, L'shem Ishus, L'shem Chaloy, a million things. So I put my arm around him. I said, listen, your great-grandfather gave a ring to your great-grandmother in a little shtetl in Europe. Do you think that he had in mind every Reb Shimon that wasn't even born yet, every Avnei Meluim, every shtetl Torah, every chal? He gave a ring and said, Kedas Ma'ishiv Yisrael. So they were married. It's all Zayin. So he breathed a sigh of relief. So I couldn't hold back. I said to him, don't worry, you're also B'di'evan married. He got all nervous and B'di'evan. No, it was a joke. You're married even like Adchila. Don't worry, just chill out, relax, don't worry about it. So to over here, he says, Zozayim, you're not Yetzir the Mitzvah. It's a big, who cares? I want to know, is the woman who tells the Nasr the Shukana? So if you go down the root of this Ridva, that the eco, the Geirim, the engine that's preventing being Yetzir in Rosh Hashanah is the Mitzvah of Aveira, I understand why Chalitza is not covered by that. And then Inami, go back to Ridva, says Inami, the second reason why you're not Yitzhak, that's really the Ramban story. That's the old Pisma, the two paths to go down. It's safer to go down the path of saying he's not Yitzhak and Shalom Yisrael. So that's the Ramban. Good. So the second answer to Ridva is right out of the Ramban. But the first answer is not the Ramban speaking. The first answer is the Ridva on his own speaking. Other Shon around the stairs also. And therefore, one can be Mechalek between chalitza that you tacha or yaitzeh, even though an aveir was done, in contrast to tkiyah shofar, that an aveir was done, that prevention be yaitzeh. So Baruch Hashem, we solved the Yesh Amram. We spent a lot of time. We don't even know which Rishon we're solving, which Rishon we're helping. With some anonymous, some phantom Rishon somewhere, we just say, Baruch Hashem. But basically, I want to go back to the Ramban. I want to go back to the Ramban and Yevamos. The Ramban we had was sent to the Ramban comes last week. Let's go back to the Ramban and Yevamos. I want to read this Ramban again very, very carefully. So the Ramban is on the first column of the Rambans. Those have it on their phones. It starts with Sandosh Levarizol Tachlot Mchotzlot Sasek Sheira. So the Ramban says, the third line in the Ramban, V'imi Shumi Surianu, how in the world can we accept this Chalitza? Gival, there's a violation of Hanoah here. Neh, Chalitza Lav Hanoah, Mitzlav Hanoah. Good. But now the Ramban throws a curve. Afal gav, the hocha boyle in Sube. But wait a second. This woman wants to get married, and it's the chalitz that's enabling her to do so. And if it's chalitza, she was also bana, isn't that called being nehene? V'alei chalitza lo naspila. Kev l'makaba l'mitzvah, lafanoi. So the Ramban posed the question, then he answered the question in the same breath. Let's just understand the question first. The Ramban is clearly highlighting the following question. Wait a second. Mitzvah slavionis bidu means that the mitzvah is not hana. The brownie points of doing a mitzvah, that's not hana in halacha. Mitzvahs are not given for your smile, for your cozy feelings. That's not the purpose of mitzvahs. So, ka'ol, evidus rabbi. So a mitzvah is not halachically called hana. But frek the Ramban, it is hana in chalitza. The hana in chalitza is obvious. Now she can get married. What the Yesh Omrim thought was the problem, the Ramban says, no, it can't be a problem. The Ramban has to machavek the Yesh Omrim. The Ramban has to show you why it's not a hana. So taka, why is it not a hana? So now the kasha is turned on the Ramban. The Ramban ignored, the Ramban rejected the Yesh Omrim, so posed the challenge of the Yesh Omrim against the Ramban Gufa. How can the Ramban tell us with a straight face there is nothing wrong with doing a chalitza with a shoe that's asa mana, because mitzvah just solves the world's problems? But Rabbi says she's getting a huge hana. She's now getting married. That's worth an awful lot of money to her. Why isn't that called hana? So the Rabbans go back to the Ramban again. And the Ramban says, V'yafo gav the hocha boy ben tzube v'lo chalitza l'naspilo kevan de l'ma'akiv ba'ela mitzvah lav hanohi. Goes up there, man. What's Ramban saying? Ramban saying that true, mitzvah slavionos didnu only covers the religious hanos shavai. It wouldn't cover external hanos. It wouldn't cover physical pleasures. And we'll see hopefully in a moment where the Ramban got that from. That's for sure. But ability to remarry is not really an external pleasure. And I'll tell you why. Because it's the fulfillment of the mitzvah that is gufa, the matir of getting married. And it's the e-fulfillment of the mitzvah that's the oiser for getting married. So her getting married is contingent upon the mitzvah shabbat. A hana that's contingent upon the mitzvah proper, that's also mitzvah slavionis. So kevelam akiba ela mitzvah, it's only the mitzvah shabai of chalitza that's ultimately that what's creating the iser, that's keeping this iser going of Yivam Lashuk. Since that iser anah is a direct result of the mitzvah shabai, that's lahanoi. You can't call the heter anah. The heter anah, that's good for the mitzvah. The mitzvah is the creation of the heter anah, so to speak. That is what chalitza is. Chalitza is nothing more, nothing less. It's the creation of the heter anah. And that creation of Hetra Noah is covered by mitzvah. So Baruch Hashem, we can breathe a sigh of relief. The Ramban gives an answer why we're not worried about the, in a sense, the external Hanoh. So the Yesh Omrim were very worried in it. The Ramban says, don't bother. I'm not worried about it. So there are other approaches in Rishon why we shouldn't be bothered with the external Hanoh. You take a look at the Ritva on Yavama. So that was the Ritva that I just sent out today. The other Ritva, not the one on Rosh Hashanah, but the Ritva on Yavamas. So it's, if you take a look, it's on the column tough resh mem ches. Just to give you an idea about how many pages are in this book of the Ritva. Tough resh mem ches. It's the second column in the Ritva, top line. Aval hanochay delechashiva hanoah biisurin el keshinene begufo. Val hatera lashuk, the fact that doing a chalitza will enable her to remarry. And for good luck, the Ritva says, Chiyas Miksuba. By the way, we didn't even talk about that. Monetary Hanoh. She's not going to get a few dollars from Miksuba. Ein zeh migufa shel sandal. That's not Hanoh from the shoe. Ein ha-chalitza ala kegurama bi'alma. He says, the chalitza is a gerim. It's so far removed. It's so many steps removed. It's so indirect. That's a gurama of Hanoh. It's not Hanoh, mamish. So this is a different answer than that. Both the Ramban and the Ritva are trying to explain why the Yesh Omrim are not right, why the Halacha is not so worried about the Heter Hanoh. Either it's not worried because the Heter Hanoh is kigufa for the mitzvah, as the Ramban said, or it's not worried with the Heter, but we're not worried about the Heter Nisuin because he gufa mitzvah, or we're not worried with the Heter Nisuin because it's too indirect, but push comes to shove, we're not bothered with the Heter Nisuin. So Baruch Hashem, we can breathe a sigh of relief. We have three shittas in Rishonim. When we learn a sugya mitzvah v'anusin, so we learned three sugyas last week. We learned Rosh Hashanah, Sukkah, and Yavamos. So Rosh Hashanah and Sukkah were the easy sugyas because the only potential I know was the kiyum mitzvah. So that the Gemara knocked off in mitzvah v'anusin. Yavamos was much more difficult because in Yavamos we have to reckon with the additional problem, the additional potential hanah, that thing that hanah of the het and nisuin. So the Yeshom said, oh boy, that's a big problem. That's a huge problem. That's the source for lotaslot v'chanchila. And the Ramban and Ritva said, no. That we can deal with that. We can reckon that also. We can't apply the regular rules mitzvah. Honestly, we have to touch it up a little bit. Either the Ramban's teretz that we just merge together the hetter nisuin with the mitzvah itself, or according to the Ritva, we're salvaged by calling it to indirect. Rabbi said, although there are three different opinions, three fundamentally different opinions, the Yeshom, the Ramban, the Ritva, each one of these Gedolei Rishonim posed a problem. Each one of these Rishonim lost sleep over this issue. How could the Gemara call Chalitza being mitzvah v'onus dinu? What happened to the Het Nisuin? Shofar, easy. Sukkah, a cinch. Those are obvious mitzvah v'onus dinu. But Chalitza, you must reckon with the Het Nisuin. You have to go up with some theory. Either you say it's Tacha Osir, or you come up with the Ramban solution or Rosh. But everyone has to deal with this problem. Why does everybody have to deal with this problem? Why are all three of these great Rishonim bothered with the problem? So what's the common denominator of what he said by all three of these Rishonim? That mitzvah slav v'honus dinu, the buck stops here. Mitzvah slav v'honus dinu is not a green light to do anything and everything b'shas mitzvah. Mitzvah slav v'honus dinu means whatever is hanos mitzvah, the fact that I'm yaitse the mitzvah, you want to extend the definition of mitzvah a little bit, that's like the Ramban okay. But whatever is called fulfilling the mitzvah, that is covered by mitzvah slav v'honus dinu. The minute that you introduce external hanos, you're asking for trouble. The minute that you introduce some other kind of hanos that's not mitzvah proper, you may hit into a brick wall. That may pose a problem. You may write back to where you started from. That may be also in a hanos min haTorah. So don't get carried away in mitzvah hanos. Don't say, I'm doing your mitzvah, so leave me alone. I don't have to worry about the Dharma, about the Zara, and your Nidach says, I'm good to go because after all, I'm a mitzvah man. No. Being a mitzvah man solves the mitzvah being called hano. But there may be other tangentials hano that you have to reckon with. And then you have to decide, is this one of those hanos you have to reckon with or not? Ramban, Ritva, Yeshom, etc. But the common denominator is clear from all three Rishonim. You cannot ignore external hanos. Where did the Rishonim get this from? How did they know, how did all these Rishonim know that that is the starting point? The answer is they got it from the Gemara explicitly. The Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Let's go back to the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Hopefully, Eilim is able to bring Gemara's Rosh Hashanah. Let's go back to Rosh Hashanah Kav Chesem and Al, which was the source of the entire sugya of Mitzvah V'Honos Dinu. Rosh Hashanah Daf Kav Chesem and Al. Let's pick it up from V'Yamar Rava. So it's about 15 lines or so from the bottom, 12 lines. V'Amar Rava Mudah No Mechaverei. It happens to be a few places. One is Amarava, one is V'amarava. So we're going to do the V'amarava with the Vav at the beginning. V'amarava, Buddha Nabi Chamev. A person took a neder that they're not going to receive any hana from their friend. So now Min HaTorah, they're not allowed to receive hana. No, Reuben took a neder, he's not going to be neder from Shimon. So now L'Bayachal Devarah dictates that he's not allowed to receive anything from Shimon that would qualify as hana. So he says, no problem. Ma'za Alav Mechatos. He can have his friend sprinkle Paraduma water on him. Vimoseke Shaman. In the wintertime. Not in the summertime. What's the difference? Very simple. In the wintertime, it's cold outside. Nobody's particularly interested in getting drenched outside. So if somebody pours mechatas onto you in the wintertime, the only ishkar you're going to give the prayer, the only hanor that you're getting is the hanor's mitzvah. You're becoming toy, fulfilling the mitzvah of Efer Paraduma. So that particular hanor, that's perfectly okay. That's fine. Mitzvah, I understand. But the minute that you do it in the summertime, it's a whole different ballgame. I'll give a ma'aser shakachoya. Today, I was walking down my block, taking my daily walk with my wife, and it was pretty warm. In the middle of the heat of the day, it was pretty warm. And some kids were playing across the street with some sprinklers, and they were having a blast. And I felt that maybe it was not the most rabbinic thing to say, to ask them to please point some of those sprinkles in my direction. But I was kind of hoping that they would do so, because it was a little toasty already. I would have loved a little bit of a little cooling down. I would have been more than happy. If I was taking a walk with my wife in the middle of January and somebody was sprinkling, I probably wouldn't have been too excited about it. That's exactly this Gemara. The Gemara says that the most like a shomim, nothing wrong with getting under Zaif and Paraduma on you. It's a nos mitzvah, mitzvah. But in the wintertime, but in the summertime, when there's the added dimension of an osaguf, that's a problem. Then the Gemara continues. If a person took a ned, he's not going to derive any anah from a ma'ayon, from a spring. So taiva baby tefillah shamitzvah masek shaman, avol masechama. Let's say if the ariz mikvah took a ned, he's not going to get any anah from the ariz mikvah. So if he wants to be taiva in the middle of December, I remember once I went with my father many moons ago. I was learning Kabbalah. I went to Gogul and he came to visit me for a couple of days in the wintertime. So we went up to Tzvat for the day. And towards the evening, we made our way down to the Ariz Mikvah. We had no half a minute of going to be tough with the Ariz Mikvah in the middle of December, but there were many people who weren't just a half a minute. It was a maskana. It was like 30 degrees of freedom. You know, it started to get really, really cold at night in the wintertime. Up in the mountains, getting freezing. People were tabling. The Ariz Mikvah was not known for its warm temperatures even in the middle of July. So that's what's called tabel babi masik shaman. I don't think anybody got any hanos aguf by being tabel in the Ariz Mikvah in January. But I've been in the Ariz Mikvah many, many times in the middle of July and August when it's very, very hot outside. And I'll tell you a secret, it's refreshing. It's cool outside. I'm jumping into a good ice cold swimming pool. So it's enjoyable. So that's exactly what the Gemara says. That tabel babi masik shaman lo masacham. Why? So it is clear from both of these two statements in Chazal that mitzvah slavi hanos only covers hanos, mitzvah doesn't cover external tangential hanos. So l'chor, this is the basis for the Ramban's kasha. This is the basis for the Eishayim, this is the basis for the Dvos kasha. You see from this Gemara that mitzvah slavi hanos is not an end all. It only touches on the hanos mitzvah, but if they're external hanos, you have to reckon with them. And now they're shema bothered. Hey, wait a second, why is or why is not the hetin is soon called an external hanos? But clearly, these are Yishayim in front of their eyes, this Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. No question about it. However, did all the Rishonim ask this question? Were all the Rishonim bound by this interpretation of the Gemara? I gave what I thought was the simplest shot of the Gemara. I'll tell you a secret. Probably most of the Rishonim say what I just said. The Ran and the Darb said the famous shot that I just said. It's an Osmitz and an Osaguf. They're two different things, and you have to deal with an Osaguf. There's no matter for that. But is there another way to read this Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that wouldn't force us to conclude that Hanos HaGuf is something you have to reckon with? And if we can discover another pshat in this Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, then we can avoid the entire last year and a half. I mean, I don't know if I want to do that. Hopefully everyone enjoyed the last year and a half. But the whole kasha of the Yeshomer, and the kasha from Ramban, the kasha of the Ridva, what happened to the Het and Nisuin and turning the world upside down to explain, yeah, nish. The whole question was predicated on an assumption that external hanos concern us and bother us. Maybe that assumption is just poshut, not true. Maybe not true. I just read a Gemara Shana. What do you mean it's not true? Of course it's true. Rabbi Sai, let's take a look at a Gemara in Maseches Nedarim together. Hopefully everyone had a chance to be in the Gemara in Maseches Nedarim. Learn the sugya a little bit together and see, is there perhaps another way to read this Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah? Did we read it the correct way or not? Look at Maseches Nedarim. The Gemara is talking about a very, very strange scenario, the Tezavav of days in Maseches Nedarim. The Gemara is talking about a husband says to his wife, a very disturbing kind of a neder he takes. He basically takes a neder that would prevent him from having tashrish together. He worded his neder in such a way that there would be a violation by yachal devaroi. So that's a very, very loaded kind of a statement on so many different levels, how such a neder can even be effective. So we're not learning the intricacies of the Dharam of Tetzvav right now, but there's a lot of lumdas in that. And one of the questions that the Gemara asks is, we take a look at Tetzvav of Ezes before the mission. It's about the 2,000 before the Mishnah. Yes, the Gemara, how in the world can a guy take such a neder? He's meshugan and dinim mamonis to be with his wife. It's understood, a couple gets married, so there are built in dinim mamonis obligations. There's she'erksus v'oina, so he's mechuyev to have relations with us. So what kind of people might say, he's going to take a neder? He's not a bialim. It's not his. You can take a neder on somebody else's property. You can take it on your own property, not on Yerim's property. So how in the world did that neder you can take effect? So the Gemara explains how you can word it in such a psalm. You shouldn't take away. You can almost like circumvent the shibud. That he words the neder rather than he won't give her hana, which that he's not allowed to do because he's mechuyev to be mahana. He's mechuyev to be baalel. He words the neder in a backwards way, that he won't receive hanah from her. And so technically speaking, he almost like circumvents the shibud. But again, we're leaving out the details of the imam, how that plays out. But there is a way potentially from the word such a neder, some shouldn't take away, that the neder can be taifis, that it can be chal and staka. He has to go either to a Torah, he's got to get divorced. So comes the Ran and says, wait a second. Why is there any problem here altogether? Yes, the Ran. I think the Ran is on the side of the Gemara Maseches Nedarim. Everything in the Nedarim is different. The Tirsa Daf, the Rashi is not really Rashi. It's written by maybe one Tamin Rashi, not exactly Shahu. The Ran, rather than being in the back of the Gemara, is on the side of the Gemara. The Ran, instead of having a riff, we have the Ramban. It falls in the back of the Ramban. So everything is, it's the whole Tirsa Daf for some strange reason. I don't know exactly historically why. Everything got to flog in Maseches Nedarim. But so when you learn Maseches Nedarim, you learn it Keseda like the Ran. It's like nobody really learns Gemara Nedarim without learning it side by side with the Ran. So the Ran in Maseches Nedarim on Daf Tes Vav Hei, so it's a very end, four lines to the bottom of the Ran. Ran's like the place where Tosafot would be, like the Adamos column. So the Ran, yes, was the end of the line. V'im Toimer. Chiyama Anos Tashmishich, am I Mitzar? Am Mitzar Slav Yodas Bitnu? Says the Ran, wait a minute, stop, hold the phone. So why are we even discussing that he's not allowed to be Nene from her? He's doing a mitzvah. He's doing the mitzvah, whether you want to call the mitzvah prayer, whatever you want to call the mitzvah ona, whatever mitzvah you want to call it, multiple mitzvahs, the maisa, a person is balishta, that's a mitzvah. So comes around and says, why are we even bothered with the Yisrael law? Just hide behind mitzvah, be honest with you. It works for shofar, works for lula, works for chalitza. Why doesn't it work for tashma shamita? So Zok the Ran, Yeshloimar, the chiyam rina mitzvah slav yehonos nitnu. Hani midi loimar she ain't kiyum ha mitzvahs choshev hana. Mitzvah slav yehonos nitnu means that the kiyum of the mitzvah is not hana. Vami kamogoy, ibis hani gufei, the hani de mekai mitzvah, hana migre. It is impossible to say that other tangential hanas are not called hana. So you want to hide behind mitzvah slav yehonos nitnu, that's going to work for the etzem. The fact that he's being yaitz in the mitzvah, being together with his wife, Zolzah, that hana is covered by mitzvah. But whatever physical hana is getting, that's not going to be covered. And he says, and by the way, how do I know that to be true? Says the Ran, what a great surprise. So when I told you that the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says hana is a goof, I was quoting out of the work of the Ran. So the Ran brings a raya from that Gemara Rosh Hashanah that those two cases in Rosh Hashanah, the Tefillah Shel Mitzvah, the Hazor Shel Mitzvah, those are all just examples of if and when there's Anos Aguf, then you have to reckon with Anos Aguf. And that's why the Gemara Nedarim Daf Tes Vav is not going to give you a green light to be with your wife based on Mitzvah Anos Aguf. There may be issues of the Shibud that you wear, the Nether properly, yeah, no, maybe so, but the Mitzvah Anos Aguf is not going to be the Matar over here. That's what the Ran says. And the Ran seems simple. The Ran's right out of the Gemara Hashanah, sounds like an ironclad. However, if you take a look, and I just, one of the Marmakums I just sent right before the Shia, those who got them. So the Rashba in Maseches Nedarim. It's in Maseches Nedarim on Daf Tesvav on the Beis. It's the second column, Kam Samach Vav. Did it come through? Those Rashbas came through? Oh. Did the Rashbas come through on the phone? No, thumbs up with the Rashbas came through. Everyone's muted. No, you didn't get the WhatsApp from Or Torah Shir. It doesn't say Rashba at the top. It just says the Dharm Tesvav on the Beis on the top. Yeah, got it. Okay, good. It sent three pictures, so it says the Dharm Tesvav on the Beis. So, okay, so let's take a look. So, comes the Rashba and says, Umiyu, it's about a third of the way up in the column. First word line is Kahana. Okay? Umiyu. Akati Kashali, Even though it's true that he worded the nether in such a way that the nether is technically binding, he finagled his way, he circumvented the Shibud problem. So I don't understand. The mind says, so isn't that a mitzvah in the Torah? What's the difference? You could blow a shofar shell israna. You could shake a lulav shell israna. You could do chalitza israna. Manishtana that all of a sudden you can't be with your wife. What's the problem? It's also a mitzvah. It's fine to a mitzvah. Oh, wait a second. I heard that kasha about 2 minutes ago. Rabbi said that was the Ran's kasha. And what did the Ran say? He said the obvious answer is Hanos Aguf. And he quoted the Gemara Shana, Hanos Aguf. So the Rashba just asked the identical question of the Ran, and we are all psyched up, all ready to go, and ready to hear the Shloimer like the Ran's Teretz, right? That's exactly what we're all expecting. We're expecting the Ran's Teretz. No, bad question. This is Hanos Aguf. This is a tangential Hanos, this is external Hanos. And this you cannot ignore. This will not be covered by mitzvah b'nas to do. That's what we are expecting to hear. If that's what you're expecting, you're in for a big disappointment. The Rashba gives you a whole another teretz. How long your megillah teretz? Shloimer, the mitzvah zu ein ala machmasa for machmasai u'mishum di shtabed lo. The cave of the amanos that shvi shechalai machmas nidra poka shibudemina in kabitzah b'chaybasai. The Rashba says no. For the man who took the nether, and again, he had to be a real chochm, he had to learn the Dharm Tesvav well to word the nether in such a way to get out of the shibud. But if he figured out, he hit the jackpot, he worded the nether in a way that there's ois shibud. So he's not meshubatar anymore. Guess what? If he's not meshubatar, then the mitzvah ayinah doesn't. But ona means you're mechuyev to fulfill your obligation to your wife. If you're not obligated, that's not ayinah. Be together with your wife, that's fine. That's a davar shorush, it's not a davar shor mitzvah. The mitzvah is if the halacha dictates that the Torah says, onas al yigra, that's the mitzvah. A person who's not fulfilling that mitzvah is not fulfilling that mitzvah. I'm not saying he shouldn't be with his wife, but that you can't call that the mitzvah of ayinah. So once the shibud is pacha, how does shibud pacha? Because this guy finagled the way to be refkiyah the shibud. He created a ned that's refkiyah the shibud. So according to the Rashba, this whole thing is coming crashing down like a deck of cards. That once the shibud has been removed, once there's no shibud, then there's ois mitzvah. When there's ois mitzvah, then there's no mitzvah v'honos to do anymore. So then the Rashba says, wait a second, I pulled a fast one on you. If you're dying kashali, there are other mitzvahs involved in being with your wife besides just mir oina. We come up by ika mitzvah peripheria, the rabbi like, what happened to peruvu? Says the Rashba, no. V'yeshloim ad'einu b'chui v'hakim zer mizo, ha'shlo b'shach chiriti. Peruvu doesn't have to fulfill with his wife. Peruvu? Before with somebody else also. So you can't hide behind Puruvu and say mitzvah v'honos to you. So the Rashba just took both mitzvahs of Baal Ishto. Our starting point was, hey, isn't there a mitzvah of Baal Ishto? Isn't that a mitzvah v'honos to you? And the Rashba says, yeah, there are two grandiose mitzvahs and they're both irrelevant in this sugya. One is irrelevant because of there's no ona, and the other is irrelevant because of Purviribia. It's just not relevant because Efshe B'Acheres. So great, the Rashi has the kasha, gave a teretz, wonderful. He gave us two, gave a great two teretzim. The boy said, what's bothering me? Why did he need a teretz for? The Ran's teretz was so partial. The Ran blew the kasha out of the box. The Ran said, Hochmaskin, there's an osa guf in Gamarnu. Zapping from the Rashi, you see from the Rashi, from the back of the Rashi, asked the question, and Dafka did not give the simplest, most straightforward, partial teretz, a teretz that was a no-brainer. The Rashba didn't give it. The mashmos of the Rashba is Hanos Aguf doesn't bother me. Mitzvah Slavi Honest Nenu is okay. It's fine. It's a green light. Nothing wrong. Even though it's accompanied by Hanos Aguf. If that's the case, then I know a question that the Rashba and Yavama shouldn't be asking. The Rashba should not be worried about the Heter Nisuin. That shouldn't be on the Rashba's agenda. It shouldn't be on his radar screen. The only Rishon who asked the Kasha, Ramban asked the Kasha, the Ridva affected the Kasha, the Yeshayim affected the Kasha, the Ran would have asked such a Kasha. I got him a Kabbal. All of those above Rishonim, I understand why they were posing the question. Because they were all stuck with this idea The mitzvah b'nosim only applies to mitzvahs b'nos haguf. But according to the Rashba, that it applies even to hanos haguf, hitaka shouldn't have asked the kasha. And maybe he doesn't. I have to be honest, I didn't check the Rashba b'nivamos. Oh no, you made this prove this point. I'm going to check the Rashba b'nivamos. I don't know. But according to the Rashba b'nidarim, there's no room for this kasha. But of course, there's room for a much more serious kasha. What's the most serious kasha? Rabbi said, what's the most serious kasha going to this Rashba? What does he do with what? The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Ran did not say his Yesod in a vacuum. The Ramban did not ask his kasha. The Ritva did not ask the kasha. Hey, there's an Asa Guf in a vacuum. They asked the kasha because they had their eyes on the ball, because they had Rosh Hashanah Kavchesen off in front of them. Because the Gemara says you can't go to that mikveh in the summertime. You can't have Azos Bechatas in the summertime. So if the Rashba is ignoring Hanos Aguf, he's got to go back to the drawing board, back to Hashanah Kavchas and give you another shot. You can't just say, yeah, everything's great. It's like everything hunky-dory. It's not honest. Don't bother me. I'm good to go. I got a green light to whatever I please. It's not honest. Really? If Mitzvah honest, it was such a green light, so why is there a red light in the summertime of the mikvah, summertime of Hadar Sefer Baraduma? So there must be another pshat in that Gemara. There's got to be something going on in that Gemara. There's something different in that Gemara. Just because the Rashba is willing to accept Hanos Haguf as being subsumed under Hanos Mitzvahs and covered by the Heter of Mitzvah Hanos Nidnum, there is still some reason that the Rashba concedes that Adav Kavches and Rosh Hashanah, there's still a problem. And what is that difference? That's the real question. You have the blackboard out. That would be the real thing on the board now. What is the inequality? What is the difference between the mikvah in the summertime, where the Rashba says is off limits, the Gemara says is off limits for the Buddha Hana? What is the difference between that and the Hanos Haguf of Tashmish that the Rashba was okay with? He was willing to apply mitzvah b'nos haguf, even though he knew full well there's a Hanos Haguf. And then he had to raise the charam and tell us a story why. Lamai said this is different because there's no mitzvah, there's no shiva, there's no ein, there's no pervia. I give you a different answers, a million different answers. Manishtana, the Hanos Haguf of Rosh Hashanah that does pose a problem, from the Hanos Haguf of Nedarim that doesn't seem to pose a problem. So the Meiri, in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Dafka Chesem and Aleph, the Meiri tells us that the answer is very simple. There's a huge difference between the two. He says the Meiri, when you go into the mikveh, and you come out in the summertime, the Hanos Haguf continues on. There's a lingering Hanos Haguf. And that lingering Hanos Haguf is the red light. That is the problem. Kol Zman Zok Meiri that Hanos Haguf is accompanying the Hanos Mitzvah, it becomes part and parcel of the Hanos Mitzvah, becomes bottled to the Hanos Mitzvah, it becomes one, fuses to merge into one with the Hanos Mitzvah. It's covered by Mitzvah Sabi Hanos Nidnum. But the minute that the Hanos Haguf continues and the Hanos Mitzvah is history, therein lies the problem. So it's not the fact that you're going into the mikvah in the summertime that you're rather. Going in is not really the problem. The problem is going out. The problem is when you're out already and the Nos Mitzvah Tula is gone, it's history, a thing of the past, and the coolness lingers, therein lies the problem. That's the Meiri's pshat. That's the distinction. Rabbi say, if that is the distinction, now let's go back to the Gemara in Yevamos, back to the quote-unquote Hanos Haguf of Chalitza. What was the Hanos Haguf of Chalitza that the Ramban and the Ritva Nishon were bothered with? The Het Nisuin. Rabbi say, is the Het Nisuin closer to the model of the cool mikvah in July? Or is it closer to the model of the Rashba's Hanos Haguf B'Shas Tashmish? So clearly the Het Nisuin is an ongoing lingering Hanos. The Chalitza took about 3 seconds. The Hanos Chalitza, the Hanos Nisuin, the Het Nisuin is going to last a lifetime. So if the Meiri is right, and the Chari has to be right, that the only way to emphasize the Rashba, the only way to make the Rashba not be a Toya, otherwise it's against the Fereshu Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Kavches. The only way to make any sense out of this Rashba in the Dharm Tzvav is to subscribe to this distinction between Hanos that coincide with Hanos Mitzvah and those which go past the Hanos Mitzvah. If that's what's going on here, so then So then the Chora, the Rashba's back at the camp with the Ramban, Yesham, and the Ridva. Because the Heter Nisuin is also a lingering, ongoing type of Hana. And as a lingering, ongoing type of Hana, it should not be subject to Mitzvah Slavianus, even according to the Rashba's lenient version of Mitzvah Slavianus. So therefore, the Rashba should be bothered with the same kasha the other Rishon are bothered, and maybe he is. And maybe you have to give one of the answers, the Raman, Bitvaz, you have to give some kind of a terrorist. So just to hide behind the Rashba and say, oh, the Rashba holds Mitzvah Slavianus who carries over to everything, and even an Asaguf, and don't ask the kasha. It's a little bit of an oversimplification, the Rashba, because we don't want to make the Rashba against the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Unless we want to offer the following. What is the real difference between the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah about going into the Kul Mikvah in contrast to the case of Tashmish, of Anasaguf? So the Meiri gave us an inkling and said, it's Hanah that's simultaneous to Hanah that's afterwards. One can understand that distinction one of two ways. Even that distinction itself, the Meiri, could be interpreted in one of two ways. Even you can understand that, like on a deraisa level, that the halacha has to be keveya, whether a certain Hanah is labeled as Hanah or not. So again, there are halachas in the Torah that depend upon Hanah. Hanah is a halachic concept. And as a halachic concept, it has to be defined properly in the world of halacha. So you have to figure out that, you have to be chazat, ruch ha-kodesh, try to figure out what's made Hanah, what's not called Hanah. Those who learn Maseches Nedarim, so there are so many things in Maseches Nedarim that's not clear. Is this really called being nene from something? Is this not called, is this like a grubadik Hanah? Is this not direct Hanah? Is this not, people don't view this as Hanah? Hanah is a very, very tricky halachic concept that has its own hagdoras to it. So one of the hagdoras to make it complicated is the Hanah that I get with fulfillment of mitzvah. Is that called Hanah or not called Hanah? So that's complicated. That was Mechag Zemarim, Rosh Hashanah, because we have the Pasuk in mitzvahs Lavi Honest, but it was far from agreed upon. Rabbi Yehuda, early on, Amarim didn't subscribe to that. We learned that last week. So it's not so partial whether something is called Hanah, but Baruch Hashem, we Pasuk in mitzvahs Lavi Honest. So now the Rishonim raised the question, wait a second. Well, what if, in addition to the Hanasa Mitzvah, there's also an Hanasa Guf? Does the Halacha view them as two separate, distinct things? And therefore, even though Mitzvah Slav Yohannes didn't know, that's the Hanasa Mitzvah. But the Hanasa Guf can be viewed on its own merits and will pose a problem. And that would be a Din D'Oraisa. What do I say? No. The Hanasa Guf is Botel, so to speak, to the Hanasa Mitzvah. That basically this Maisa that I'm doing is not labeled in Halacha as a Maisa Hanah, and therefore it's not subject to Yisuri Hanah. And even though there are certain external tangential Hanos, but they're all bottled to the Hanos on mitzvah. And then the Meiri is telling us, if that's true, but Bamed Devar Mamurim, that Hanos HaGuf is bottled to Hanos HaMitzvah, that's when it's simultaneous. But if it's a lingering effect afterwards, then it's obviously much more difficult to present that Svar. So is that what the Meiri is saying, that this Svar of the Meiri, simultaneous versus later lingering Hanos, is really a chiluch on a love of deraisa. It's really a bona fide svar, bona fide chiluch on a love of deraisa. Is that really it? Or maybe the Meiri doesn't mean anything grandiose like that. Maybe the Rashba, perhaps, doesn't mean anything. The Meiri, I don't know. Maybe the Rashba doesn't mean anything grandiose like that. Maybe the Rashba is just concerned with almost a very, very simple problem. It's almost like a derabbanan thing, but like a gezeirah thing problem. You let a guy go into the mikvah in the summertime. It's true that kol zman he's in the mikvah, it's okay. But the minute the tefillah is over, the minute he takes his hand out, so the tefillah is over, the mitzvah is over, and he's still in the mikvah. He's still having a grandiose time in the mikvah. What's going to stop him from staying in the mikvah for the extra time? So in Ochinam, if he theoretically would go in and come out that split second, it would really be mutter. He's feeling refreshed later. That doesn't matter. Refreshment later is not really this one. That's not really the issue. The issue is that he's going to be bathing in a mikvah, in a cold mikvah on a July hot day, when there's not no mitzvah at all, because he's already tahor. It's only a mitzvah tefillah when you're tahor, going to the mikvah. The minute you take your finger out, you're done, and you're staying to splash in, that's not a mitzvah anymore. I'll give you a marshal out of a diamond. Those who learned in Kirby Avna will definitely even appreciate him more. I'm sure everyone will appreciate it a little bit. So I remember my first year in Kirby Avna, it was before there was a mikvah even on in the yeshiva. The yeshiva didn't have its own mikvah. So Erev Rosh Hashanah, they sent the boys to go to Ashdod, to the beach, to go Tevel. So remember, the rule was you're allowed to go for 20 minutes. They gave us 20 minutes. Holy, we already slept on the bus to the beach, going to the water to be Tevel, and they let us play around in the water for 20 minutes now. So the guys were horsing around a little bit. You know, the Bacham had been, in those days, you didn't leave yeshiva, all the fellows. You know, we've been you know, stuck in yeshiva 30 days already. The guys, the Americans were going out of their minds already. So they were, you know, bouncing around. I think one guy probably bought a beach boy. And, you know, it was a, hey, I do it. 18-year-old Americans having a good time at the beach. When the Rosh Yeshiva found out about this, he was very upset. He said, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah's not time to go play ball on the beach. So by the time Erev Yom Kippur rolled around, we went to some mikveh, some yeshuv, like 20 minutes away, some little two-by-nothing mikveh. That was the end of the fun and games on the beach for Erev Yom Kippur. That's what I'm saying here. That's what the Rosh was saying here. That the tefillah itself was okay, but the playing inside the water, you know, that's a problem. So what the Rosh was really worried about was almost like a gezeirah, the guy's going to schlep sich in the water for longer than necessary. So l'chora, if that's the case, so then by Tashvish Amita, there's not that no concern, because lemaisa, the maisa bia is mutter. Chol's man is being bold, so that's mutter. That's covered by mitzvah, whatever the mitzvah is. So that's what the Rashba asked. Mitzvah, you understand? I did Hanos HaGuf, so what? Hanos HaGuf are okay. Hanos HaGuf that accompany mitzvahs are okay. And even Hanos HaGuf that linger afterwards are okay. But you can't have a separate maisa that's a hanah in the absence of a mitzvah. That's the problem. So that model exists by the mikvah. That model doesn't carry over to Tashvish Amita. So if that's the case, then back to the chalitza model. That concern, shema, you're going to do what? You're going to take off the shoe a second time. What are you going to do exactly? You're going to take off the shoe, and that's a mitzvah. And now there's going to be a lingering hanas. What? Lingering hanas is not what concerns me. What concerns me is the unique problem of Rosh Hashanah Kavches. You're going to stay in the water and enjoy the cold water after the mitzvah is over. That's the problem. You're going to be nehneh from the guf hamayim, from the guf hamayim, and after there's no mitzvah anymore. That's a huge problem in the Torah. So we have a fine line here, a nuance. How did the Rosh learn the Dharm Kavches? We know he didn't learn straight like the Ram. We know he learned a little different than the Ram. We're not sure why is Rosh Hashanah Kavches a problem? Either it's a problem because it's a lingering hanaza problem, or it's a problem because it was like gezeir Hashem, you can overdo your stay in the water. Nafkamina will be, should the Rash propose the question by chalitza? So when all the dust settles, going back to Arsuga was the easiest of the sukkah. Arsuga, that was a cinch. Sukkah, taflamin aleph, pitzav, venus, didu kol today. Rosh Hashanah kavchas kol today. Those are easy. Shofar and sukkah are easy. Chalitza was much, much more problematic. And it opened up our eyes to the whole world of Mitzvah Yonos Dinu. So we pretty much finished the Sugya Mitzvah Yonos Dinu. If you remember next week in Mitzvah Shem, hopefully someone remind me just to tell you a fascinating story about Rav Moshe. Moshe had a fascinating, fascinating psak based on Mitzvah Yonos Dinu, which touches on a lot of the things that we're talking about. So if you remember next week, just to tell it. But then hopefully Mitzvah Shem after that, we'll try to get moving on into the next Sugya Mitzvah Shem next week. Okay. Wish everybody a good night.